We're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. In studio with me, Brandon Peoples, our new news director, also assistant director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, Dr. Timothy Schaefer. I almost caught it.
That's all right. We're good. We're good.
And I think we have another caller online. Caller, go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Well, as part of your communications professor and then news radio people there, this weekend, worldwide known co-host of Coast to Coast has driven into Manhattan, Kansas to take a job with K-State University as the A.Q. Miller School of Journalism and Mass Communications, and he'll be here in town. But let me ask you along more of something that we can use in our daily life. With all of the harsh news that has been presented to us, and especially today about the K-State student passing, my granddaughter, who was in the architectural and rowing, has not heard about that yet. How do I present that, or any of us, any other news that's going to come across the line to my granddaughter about the loss of her friend?
Yeah, no, go ahead, sorry.
And then how do you deal with that reaction that's going to occur?
Yeah, no,
for all your efforts.
I just saw that actually last night myself, not through any K-State communication, but actually through third-party news sources. So it showed up in a couple places. And so there weren't a lot of details, I'll put it that way. So I don't know the specificity. It said a short illness, for example. But, I mean, here's one of those situations where how do you share information widely and also be respectful of individuals? And, again, I don't know the specifics in this particular situation. But I am not a health communication person or a grief counselor in some of those other realms, and so I don't want to, especially in this very public way, say anything out of step. But I'll just point very clearly that the institute at the university, we've got folks who are really good at that through counseling services and some other places. So the political discourse and stuff, I feel pretty comfortable about that. I do not, and so I would point you and your family member to some of those other appropriate services, counseling services, for example, at K-State and lots of other places are really great at responding and figuring out how to help make some sense of what often are kind of untimely and senseless tragedies. So that's all I'll say there.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call, and I'll tell you from a newsman's perspective that it's definitely difficult. It's definitely difficult to approach those subjects. I can't tell you how to deal with them, but I can tell you that they happened. That's basically the long and the short of it. But we have another caller on the line. Caller, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, they're on your last segment there before you got it talking about the senator that had to lie to get a job about being Indian. And your guest there said there's a lot of lies that come out of the White House. And you need to be specific and tell the American people what lies that the president has said, so we'll know. You know, you just can't say, well, lies come out, but what lies did he say? So can you be specific on those to clear things up? You all have a good day.
Yeah, no, thanks. Probably one of the best places I would point people to, and again, I think this speaks to kind of the current climate that we exist in, the ways that the moment I'll say this newspaper in a moment, people will have maybe certain reactions, maybe visceral or otherwise. But the Washington Post has a really good fact checker, hasn't been updated at least 2 days ago for about the last month. So I'm not sure exactly why, partly I think for background research purposes and such, but documenting untruthful statements, big and small, from the president. And at last check, it was 5,000 and some odd statements that were able to be verified as being untrue. Or I'll be as bold to say, in certain circumstances, not just being ambiguous, but explicit lies. And I think this feeds into a larger challenge and situation is what do we trust and don't trust. I was mentioning, for example, I was part of a project that's coming forward. It's an edited book with scholars who study social media, all sorts of things, the ways that we think about political discourse these days. And the complication that comes from the environment that we're in now is what do we trust? How do we trust it? The speed at which things can get communicated and shared through things like Twitter and other sources, but also explicit statements that are just factually not grounded in observable reality. And I'm not saying this in a partisan way. I'm saying this from a kind of a fact-based perspective. And again, not to wade too deeply into it because I also have backgrounds in philosophy, but the question about what is truth, right? At least from those kind of observable facts, those types of things, I think we can say we're in an environment that gets kind of slippery with a lot of that, and it gets complicated, right? So even going back to the Senator Warren story, knowing for sure those different moments that often get referenced to as examples of her benefiting from a certain status or not, tribal status that is. We don't know all of those particular things, right? But the ways they get talked about and kind of repeated, it becomes a talking point, right? And the more we hear things, it kind of settles in some respects. And if you align with that ideologically, then you say, yeah, you're more accepting of it, and otherwise you're not. And so this is the really unfortunate kind of climate that we've got. I mean, I think the caller was asking specifically what statements were untrue about Senator Warren, and I apologize if I took that more broadly there for a moment, but I think just this, the kind of give and take of I mean, even the kind of the language of referring to her as Pocahontas, for example, those kinds of things, I think are both demeaning in that personal way, but also kind of to the role and status of holding a political office. And I think this is an unfortunate kind of space that, you know, Senator Warren also got into this conversation. I think she saw this as a political opportunity to kind of stake a claim and to put herself out there, right? And here's someone with seemingly political aspirations beyond being the senator from Massachusetts. And so we're always reading into a lot of these things at those different levels. But it's an unfortunate thing that's kind of where we are.
I think some of the things that, we talk about lies in politics. Tell me a politician that doesn't lie.
Do you want me to say a name?
Do you know of some?
I mean, there would be some that I think I could speak to some who would kind of fall into that category. But I think it's the unfortunate reality that, by and large, categorically, we say if you're in political life, public life, that you are inherently you're lying, you're distrustful. I have the opportunity to know members of state legislatures and mm-hmm. A former governor of another state, governor of Ohio, Ted Strickland.
I think it's more of a Washington, D.C. Matter as opposed to here.
Yeah.
We're seeing the lies in a lot of U.S. congressional races here that are being brought out. But also, I think one of the things about Trump, and I'm not trying to defend him, but sometimes he's also brutally honest to a point, to where he doesn't have that filter. And that's what gets him in a lot of trouble as well.
Yeah, I mean, he speaks very casually in the ways that,
we're not used to.
You might not when you're in front of cameras or have or microphones and whatever else. Yeah, and so I think there's definitely an element of that. I think there's a piece of this that's really complicated, especially when categorically we kind of, right, we have all these assumptions. I mean, it's the same thing. Well, no, I don't want to make those kind of comparisons. But when we say categorically you're in politics, so inherently you're this person, I caution against that, and at the same time recognize that on the whole, I mean, I think systematic some issues that are, complicating the whole political class is the stuff that reinforces it and kind of enables the system to stay as such. And the aspirations of kind of American democracy were this you know, kind of everyday person being this representative. Yesterday, I was just in Nebraska, for example, with my family, and we happened to time it just right that we went to the state capitol, and so we got the tour, and they told about the architecture and the murals and the unicameral legislature, which is the only one in the United States, right? So they just have one. And the way that it was being described also was probably a little rosy from the state capitol historian, right, the tour guide. But the sense of you know, these, as he said, you know, these people aren't representing parties; they're representing their people in these districts, and really speaking it from that way. There was this kind of, I don't know, this ideal that we could see at different times people kind of striving for. But at the same moment that he was saying that, somebody asks a question of like, well, how does this affect like lobbyists and others? He's like, oh, well, they don't have time to talk to lobbyists because they're so busy doing the work of the people. And I'm thinking, I think you're getting a little rosy here. And
idealistic,
right? And so, you know, I think that honesty is really important. And I think there's some truth to that of the current president speaking in ways that, you know, are, you know, interpreted as being kind of off the cuff or just kind of honest and sometimes cringeworthy because of those things. And that's, you know, part of what made him so attractive to so many people in 2016, that here's somebody who was not kind of abiding by either the written or unwritten rules of how to be a politician. And, you know, it's continued. I was just speaking about this the other day. I was like, remember when we were asking that question if President Trump was still going to use Twitter when he got elected to office, right? I mean, it was just kind of this fascinating moment of like, how will he conform to kind of the structures? And as we know, that's not necessarily been...
He's kind of carved his own path.
Well, yeah, right, with questions about repercussions. And that's part of what it is, because anything that kind of binds us together, these kind of rules, the laws, all of this stuff is what we create and how we hold ourselves to it. And what happens when some of those norms, those practices go away, and we don't know.
What I think is an interesting, I don't want to refer to it as a breakdown necessarily, but in the past we were talking about how people would consider, you know, politicians, they spin the truth. We'll put it that way. They spin the truth in their benefit. They might not necessarily outright lie all the time,
right,
but
right.
People perceive them to be, you know, maybe not fully truthful in every situation. But nowadays I'm noticing that there's kind of a desire, depending on what side, if you strongly identify with one side or the other, to decide that your side is clearly being truthful, despite the fact that maybe 4 years ago you might not have considered them to be 100% truthful, but the other side is completely lying.
Well, there's actually research that backs up this claim that even if you try to present factual information to one party, you know, somebody supporting a party versus the other, that it will actually just further reinforce their already established views, right? So this is one of the great dilemmas. And someone like me who works in the space of kind of public discussion and discourse is, what does that mean when people are going to maybe hear information that's contradictory or challenges their view of whatever the issue might be, but it's only going to further kind of exacerbate this kind of polemic, right? That nope. I mean, there's some striking examples recently that have kind of pointed to this. That, you know, how do you navigate that when the things that we say, well, if we have kind of objective views, the kind of non-biased perspective, especially through media and some other places. What comes of that when we don't accept those as being, you know, honest or accurate?
And I think it might be time for our last break of the morning. When we come back, we'll have one last segment with Dr. Timothy Schaefer. So stay tuned for more here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.